Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. We magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you've done in our life. And Father God, we thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, that as the word is spoken, we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that word will bring forth life on the inside of us. But we thank you most importantly that we'll take that word, that life word, and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. We thank you, Father, for revival to this nation, revival to this generation, revival to this city. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And Father God, we thank you today. We come not in their own strength, not in their own power, not in their own might, not in their own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But Father God, we thank you for that anointing that's present tonight, that anointing that changes us, that anointing that sets us free, that anointing that just helps us. And Father, we thank you for everything you have done and everything you are doing, both here and around the world. We pray tonight for mom and dad as they're getting a little rest this week and getting prepared for Winter Bible Seminar. We thank you, Father, that you're strengthening them, that you're helping them, that you're refreshing them, that you're renewing them. And we thank you, Father, for everything you're doing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Like I said, mom and dad, they had two wonderful crusades this week in Florida. And now, or last week, and then this week they're taking the week off. And my dad, I haven't talked with them, but he texted me on Friday, said he was really tired and looking forward for the week off. And then we have it coming up in a few weeks. At the Rhema Broken Arrow campus, we have a Winter Bible Seminar and Homecoming 2018, and so they're getting prepared for that and ready for that, and all fired up. And it's kind of a tradition they always do is they always take a week off, you know, somewhere right before Winter Bible Seminar so they can prepare. Amen. You know, it's you know, you can't come with them, you know, with old manna and expect people to be blessed. Amen. You have to. Sometimes even ministers have to take some time and prepare and also, you know, rest. Amen. Well, we're reading last week and this week from Mark chapter 11. And as most of you know, that Mark 11, 23 and Mark 11, 24 are the keynote scriptures of our ministry. They're the scriptures that my grandfather got a hold of that brought him off the deathbed and sent him into the ministry. And, you know, they're very important scriptures to this ministry. And some people have thought that my grandfather wrote the scriptures, but those scriptures are in red. Jesus not only wrote them, Mark actually wrote the scriptures, but Jesus is the one that quoted the scriptures. It was his words, not my grandfather's words. But really, Mark 11, 23 and 24 would never happen if it wasn't for Mark 11, 12. And we read about this last week, but I want to kind of refresh your memory. We're talking about the fig tree. I'm reading from the New Living Translation once again this week, and Mark 11, 12 says this, said, the next morning as they were leaving, talking about Jesus and his disciples, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off, so he went over to see it if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, may no one ever eat your fruit again. And his disciples heard him say it. Now, once again, I pointed out, according to this translation, when he says he saw a fig tree a little ways off, it seems like he had to walk out of his way to get to the fig tree. Because sometimes we just think, well, he was on the street or on the road, and there was a fig tree. But it kind of makes sense that you don't plant fig trees next to the road. Because, you know, if you were a fig farmer or whatever they are, if you planted a fig tree by next to the road, then everyone would steal your figs, you know. Or everyone would take your figs. I'm not sure if you're stealing. So, but said he, you know, he saw it a little ways off, so it seemed like that he had to walk out of his way to get to the fig tree. You know, I don't know. I wasn't there. Neither were you. So it sounds good anyway. But he had to walk out of his way, and when he got to the fig tree, he saw a fig tree full of leaves but no fruit. And immediately Jesus was disappointed, you know, because he was hungry and he was looking forward to eating figs. And, you know, and I said, you know, many times in our life, we face disappointment. We think something is going to be one way, and it turns out not to be that way. And we face our own fig trees sometimes. And it looks like, you know, you're thinking, well, man, everything's going to work out in this way, and it doesn't. And then what do? Well, what Jesus did was he commanded the fig tree to dry up. He wanted to change this situation. Now, it's interesting that he really meant what he said. Do you realize that? He wasn't joking or kidding or anything. It wasn't just some kind of kidding word. Whenever he said, let no man ever eat fruit of you again. You know, he said it out loud. His disciples heard it. And I think maybe his disciples thought he was joking. He was just mad because he didn't have breakfast and he didn't get no figs. And you know that. And now, once again, I do want to point out for some of you that are not figologists or don't have Google for yourself, is that it says the time of figs was not yet. It wasn't fig season, but according to Figology 101, if a fig tree has leaves, it should also have fruit. And so this tree was being deceptive. It was deceiving everyone. Now, you know, the question was asked, why did not Jesus just, either command fruit to come upon this tree or command it to live again and produce more fruit? I don't know. All right? I don't know why he didn't. Why did this fig tree even exist? Because you know what? God did not create fig trees not to have fruit. How come this one didn't have it? I don't know why it didn't have it. But what I do know, if it wasn't for this fig tree, and if it wasn't for Jesus going through this disappointment, disappointing time, we would have never had Mark 11:23.
Right.
If we never had Mark 11:23, then my grandfather would have never got a hold of that scripture, would have never walked off the deathbed. And I can tell you one thing, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
But many other people wouldn't be here either. I mean, you think about, you know, everything that he wrote and everything he said, and it all started by Jesus being disappointed by a fig tree. And sometimes, you know, when you're facing a disappointing situation, you have to understand, you know what, there's going to be an outcome sooner or later. And maybe you're disappointed today, but sooner or later, your miracle will come. And it'll be life-changing. You know, this fig tree, like I said, I don't know why Jesus decided to tell it not to have fruit anymore. Maybe, you know, I don't know if he was mad. I don't know if he was hungry. I don't know. But he didn't like deception. And I don't either. The devil is the author of deception. Now, we notice that evidently whenever Jesus cursed a fig tree, nothing happened on the outside, because if something would have happened, we would have heard about that. But skipping down to verse number 20, it says, the next morning as they passed by the fig tree that he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots. And Peter, remembering what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day, exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died. So obviously his disciples were amazed the next day. Now, I want to point this out because some people think that any time that Jesus spoke, that immediately things changed. But immediately the fig tree didn't change. You know, in this situation, it took somewhat of 24 hours. I don't know if it took 24 full hours or what. But I do know this, is that when Jesus spoke immediately at the root system of this tree, things began to dry up. Now, it took 24 hours, you know, for it to completely die. You know, but sometimes it will take 24 hours. Sometimes it might take longer than 24 hours. But the thing is, whenever you speak to us, your disappointing situation, you just keep believing. Going to what he says in Mark 9, he says, only believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And we pointed out, you know, last week that the Bible doesn't say to figure it out how it's going to work. It says to believe. So if your situation is a fig tree, it doesn't say for you to figure out how this fig tree is going to dry up, you know, and wither away. Your point is just to believe. That's really that easy. And really, what do we believe in? We don't believe that we're going to do anything. We believe that God will do it. So, you know, the thing about it is you have to remember that God is working on your situation. If God is working on your situation, then, you know, why are you asking, well, when's it going to happen? How come it hadn't happened? All these kind of things, you know, God's working on it. Amen. It says to believe. That's all you got to do is believe. You say, well, yeah, but it hadn't happened in 24 hours. So what then, Craig? Just believe. Yeah, but it's been 2 days now. It hadn't happened. What do I do now? Just believe. Yeah, but it's been 3 days now. What do I do? Just believe. Just believe. It says all things are possible to them believes, you know, but it doesn't give a time period here. See, we put our own time period sometimes. You know, I told a guy one time whenever he was going through a situation, and they said, yeah, but you know what? They might foreclose on my house. I said, you know what? I believe that my God's good, big enough and good enough that if they foreclose on your house, then he'll get you another one. Amen. You know, just because things don't work in your time period doesn't mean they're not going to work. If you keep believing, it will happen. But you have to believe. Now, you have to believe in him. You have to believe it's able, you know, that it will happen. Now, you know, I said also that according to Webster's New World Dictionary, the second definition of the word faith is an unquestioning belief. And so it's really easy to figure out whether you're in faith or not, because if you're asking a question, you know, who, what, when, how, where, you know, sometimes why, if you're asking any of those questions, then you're not in faith, according to the dictionary. Now, a lot of Christians ask a lot of questions. I get asked a lot of questions from a lot of Christians. They ask, well, why hasn't it happened yet? I don't know why. I don't ask why. I just believe. Yeah, but how come? I don't know. Just believe. You know, it's just that simple. You just believe. Now, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, you know, I think that sometimes we just think, well, I mean, he was saying out loud, but he didn't seem to be real forceful. It didn't seem like he was screaming at the fig tree. No, he said it loud enough the disciples heard it. You know, sometimes it seems that Christians get some kind of attitude that if we scream loud enough, it's going to happen. You know, you got to shout at the devil. Well, I get speaking, you know, calling things that are not as though they are. I get speaking to the devil, telling him he has no right and no authority, but you don't have to really shout at him. If you want to shout at him, fine. The point is, all you have to do is believe what you speak. See, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he actually believed that it was going to die and never have fruit again. Now, evidently, his disciples must not have believed, because they were amazed. And you know, and like I said, if you read the different things that went forth, you know, and the disciples were there, and then the next miracle happens and they get still amazed, you know, sometimes you wonder, do they really know who Jesus is? You know, and that's sometimes our issue. We don't really know who Jesus is. We don't know the power that we possess. And that's why I encourage all of you every year to get a hold of the book Believer's Authority and read it every year. To remind yourself your authority, because you're a believer. Your authority in the name of Jesus. And, you know, I think it's very important. But so here we are, that Peter was amazed. Then verse 22, and like most people know, that this is what I call my keynote scripture. This is where I live. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, excuse me. So this is Jesus talking right here. Well, what did Jesus say? You know, a lot of times, you know, we read Mark 11, 23 and 24, but the first thing he said was Mark 11, 22, he said, have faith in God. And that's what's the most important thing, is to have faith in God. This is all about God. It's not about you, not about your pastor, not about your friends. It's about God. Have faith in God. We talked about the God kind of faith, and you know, we see that in Genesis chapter 1, when the earth was null and void, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Why? Because God said it, he believed it, he had what he said. Now, I always kind of joke around about it, you know, where, you know, God didn't say, let there be light, and then go on a 40-day fast. God didn't say, let there be light, and, you know, once he gave a $1,000 faith offering to himself, there was light. When God said, let there be light, there was light. Why was there light? Because God said it. You know, and what the Bible really is saying here is that we have the authority to speak like God speaks because our faith is in God. And so when we speak, it's just like God speaking because, you know, because we have that authority. And that's what Jesus said here in Mark 11:23, and I'm reading from the New Living. It says this, says, I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. So, you know, when you read it from this translation, it's you know, it really kind of shows you something. First of all, Jesus was actually pointing to a literal mountain. All right? You know, he was pointing to a literal mountain, and he said, you know what? Not only, basically what he was trying to say, not only can you curse a fig tree, you can speak to a mountain. Now, I believe when he used the word mountain, he was using the word mountain, like pointing to a mountain, but he was also figuratively talking to the mountains in your life, right? Whenever you're facing mountains, whenever you're facing, you know, things that look big, see, mountains are big. You can see a mountain from miles away. You know, sometimes you think mountains are closer than they really are, but because they're so big. And the reason that he used a mountain was because the mountain, you know, being big, obviously it's impossible to not just move a mountain, but actually move it. And, you know, he didn't say just move the mountain. He says, pick it up and throw it into the sea. I mean, that's impossible. I understand, you know, we could call upon Superman and he could fly in here in his cape and he can pick that mountain up and, you know, yeah, sure. You know, and the thing is that Jesus was trying to tell us by illustration that the things that are impossible to you are possible if you really believe. Now, you know, the reason we're not moving mountains because we don't need to move a mountain. You know, a physical mountain, but we do have mountains in our life that we need to move. You know, and sometimes when we face a mountain, we don't even consider that we can move it. You know, when we come to a disappointment, we just, for whatever reason, you know, it doesn't matter how much teaching, how much word we have, when we face a mountain, we're like, oh man, what am I going to do now? I guess I'll turn around. Now, you know, if you were literally driving on a road and you know, your road ended into a mountain and there was no tunnel to go through the mountain or anything like, or no road around the mountain, I mean, you know, first of all, you're saying, who built this stupid road to run me into a mountain? Now I got to turn around. But a lot of times what happens in our own life is we're going through a nice road, things are going well, you know, everything seems great, and all of a sudden, boom, a mountain pops up. And so instead of doing anything about it, we just back up and go the other way. We don't even think, well, you know, there's no way anyone can change that mountain. I mean, that's ridiculous to even think that. You know, and the reason you don't think that is because you're trying to think how you think. But Jesus was trying to tell his disciples, quit thinking like you think and think like God thinks. Because quite literally, when God, you know, was there and the earth was null and void, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense that God can say, hey, let there be light, and you know, the light comes on. I mean, it doesn't happen whenever you walk into your house. I mean, you have to turn the switch on, or you have to clap on, or whatever. Or I guess now you know, you can have those electronic voices, you know, hey, Alexa, turn the light on, or something like that, I guess. I guess maybe you can speak, but you have to speak plain enough, because I have Siri on my phone. I don't know how many times I've said, I'm going to use the voice thing, and I'll use the voice thing, and I'll ask it the question, and it doesn't understand what I ask it, and so it gives me some other answer, and I do about 5 times, and then finally I just go and type it in because it just makes more sense. But see, you know, God didn't have to speak 5 times for the light to come on. Jesus didn't have to speak to the fig tree 5 times either. Notice that it didn't say that Jesus began to speak over and over again, fig tree die, fig tree die, fig tree die, fig tree die. One time was good enough. Why? Because he believed. And, you know, here, right here in the New Living, is the way it says it right here, but you must really believe it will happen. Now, this is the interesting part, is whenever you're facing a faith situation, whenever you have a mountain, do you really believe the mountain is going to move? Do you believe? And a lot of times, you must not believe, because I'm not talking about you specifically, but a lot of people, I don't know if they believe or not, but because, you know, they'll speak to their mountain, and a couple of days later, they'll come ask the minister whatever questions. Well, how come my mountain's not moving? You know, is it really going to move? You know, the thing is, you must believe. Or in the words of Yoda, believe you must. You know, I mean, we got to believe. Do we believe? That goes back to Mark 9, only believe. You know, now, for some of you that happen, you know, to be younger, that when you know, that your parents said, well, you had a great imagination. Some of you are a little bit, it's a little bit better for you to be able to believe, because I mean, you believe about these, you know, little, you know, make-believe friends, and they all popped up or whatever. So it's easy for you to believe that something that's not there is really there, you know. But the rest of us that are saying, you know, sometimes it's harder for us to, you know, to believe. And I'm just joking about that, you know, because, you know, I watched Mr. Rogers growing up, and the neighborhood of make-believe or whatever. So you know, I get it, you know. But the deal is, we want to believe, but do we really believe? Do we really believe? I mean, you know, just because we want something to happen doesn't mean that we believe it's going to happen. You know, and I think there's a difference in wanting it and believing it. Now, here's the deal, is remember, our faith is in God. We believe in God. You know, it's in God we trust. It's on your money. Now, many people, what they're trying to do is they're trying to figure out some way that they believe that they're able to go pick up a mountain and move it. It doesn't say you should ever pick up a mountain. It doesn't say that you should work on a plan to move that mountain and share that plan with God. It says you need to believe. And, you know, and I found out a lot of times whenever you're talking to people, they're hatching out a plan. So really, how much do they believe? Because if they really believe that God was going to work on their behalf, why would they need a plan? You only need a plan if you know, plan A is not going to work, and then you have to get plan B. Now, I always said that when people have plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, whatever their lowest plan is, that's where they're really believing. Because they wouldn't create that. Now, don't tell your boss whenever they tell you to come up with you know, all kinds of different scenarios. Well, my pastor said, you know, that's a little bit different, okay? I'm talking about whenever when you have faith, you either believe or you don't believe. Because if plan A works, there's no reason for plan B. Now you know, understand, if you're working on some kind of project at work, the reason you have plan B and plan C is because the people who create it don't know if it's going to really work or not. That's why sometimes it's in what they call the testing phase. We're just testing if plan A works. Plan A works, let's try it at plan B. And then once we get it to work, and then we'll try to hone in and get it to work the way we want it to work. You know, and so that's just the way it is. But see, with faith, it always works. There's no, well, it might work. You know, when God, like I said, when he created, you know, I use the light, but you know, he created, you know, you realize, you know, he created man from dust. You know, and I've had a, you know, few people, you know, trying to be derogatory and trying to tear you down, you know, but, you know, in all reality, you're just dust anyway. You know, so, I mean, that is, and of course, if you're a woman, then you ultimately kind of came from a rib. You know, and I used to kind of joke that's why women like barbecue, because, you know, they started with a spare rib. And that's a joke, not, you know, I mean, but, you know, the thing about it is that God, he's a creator. He creates things by speaking. Now, what Jesus is saying is you can create or recreate things by speaking. And really when you're speaking, you're commanding, what you're doing really is you're commanding things to come in line with God's word. All right, you're not coming going against God's word, because Jesus is saying, you know what, you have a right to speak. You have a right to speak. You know, all you have to do is say it. But when you say it, you must really believe it. According to this, it says you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Because, you know, sometimes we say it and we kind of believe it, but then we, sometimes what happens is we start out in faith. Day one, we're in faith. Day two, we're kind of in faith. Day three, we're maybe a little bit of faith. And then by day four or five, we're like, man, is this going to work? You know, the thing is, when he says, do you really believe it? You have to keep really believing it. Now, you know, what my grandfather always taught us to do is whenever we have a faith project or a faith situation that we're speaking to, whether it's financial, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever it is, we speak to that situation. We speak one time. After that, we thank him for it. Because if it's already done, then, you know, faith is, we're thanking for something that's already been done. Because we say, well, yeah, but I don't see it, but it's been done by faith. See, once you speak to it, you know, God's not hard of hearing. You don't have to keep to say, well, God, please, 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 with sugar on top. You know, see, once you speak and once you claim what you need or what you desire, then you thank him that's been done. Thank you, Father, that you're causing it to happen. Thank you, Father, that the angels, you know, are working. You know, the thing is sometimes the process takes a little time. But like I've shared before, I said, you know, when people get terminal cancer, you know, they usually do, you know, cancer. And, well, they don't usually, they do in stages, you know, stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. I guess there is a stage five, I think. You know, stage five or stage four cancer didn't happen overnight. It was a process. And so when I talked to people, I said, you know, when you're undoing what the devil did, sometimes there's a process, but don't get mad about it, just believe. You know, yeah, but I want it overnight. You know, this is not Burger King. You can't have it your way. And for some of you, remember that commercial, have it your way at Burger King, you know. And really what they was trying to do, it was a jab at McDonald's, you know, because, you know, they were trying to say, well, McDonald's, you get a hamburger underneath the light, you know, you don't get to have it your way. You're all the same, but at Burger King, you're going to choose your way to have the burger. And just a tip for anyone going to any kind of fast food restaurant, you know, I don't care if you like every vegetable, take one of them off and you'll get a hot hamburger. Or if you want a fresh burger, you have to tell them, well, no pickles or no lettuce or no something, you know, because they can't give you a generic one. You know, they're not allowed to unwrap one, take the pickles off and put it back together and, you know, and give it to you. So you want a hot hamburger, take a vegetable off. You say, well, I like all the vegetables. Well, you can do without one vegetable one time. You know, you can switch it up if you want to. Or take, you know, take off mayonnaise or mustard or whatever. So just a tip from, you know, just to let you know how to order at a fast food restaurant. Now, it might take a little longer, okay? So don't get upset when it takes 5 minutes to cook your hamburger. You know, I always order hamburger without tomato or onion. And not because I just want it fresh, because that's the way I like it, okay? And people do like that too, because I don't have onions, so I don't have onion breath and later on. So, all right. By the way, fast food is not healthy for some of you that are health nuts. You know, some people think, well, I'll go to Chick-fil-A, it's more healthy. It's not really more healthy. I mean, if you look at the fat content, you know, especially if you're just getting the fried chicken. Anyway, another tip from above. All right. So what Jesus was telling his disciples, and really what he was telling his disciples, and some people think, well, that was only for his disciples. But let me read this from the New King James, Mark 11:23, and it says right here, it says, for assuredly I say to you, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So it says, whoever says to this mountain. It doesn't, because I've heard people say, well, this is only for the disciples. No, he told his disciples that whoever says, whoever includes you, you have a right to say. You know, sometimes when you preach and all of a sudden, you know, someone will yell, well, say it. Well, sometimes, you know, maybe someone needs to yell it to you. You need to say it. You know, and a lot of times, you know, that we're praying for something that we already have the authority over. You know, we don't have to pray for it. We can speak to it. Jesus said, "Speak to your mountain." You know, we don't have to pray. It's not like let's just say. Now, I get it if you want new clothes, but you know, some people want to walk in their closet and pray and ask the Lord, you know, if they can wear a certain outfit or whatever. Well, you can just wear whatever outfit you want to if it's still in your closet. That is, if it still fits. You know, now it might not look good, but you can wear it. It's already yours. It belongs to you. And that's what Jesus is saying. You know, this belongs to you. The authority to speak to a mountain belongs to you. You don't have to ask for permission. You know, well, God, can I? You know, we're not playing Mother May I here. You know, but when you speak to a mountain, you got to believe. And like I said, normally the way I see it, most Christians, when they speak, they believe at first. But they get disheartened because it's not happening. And so that's when we have to remember the scripture, only believe. You know, and just like remember the scripture, having done all I stand, it says just keep standing. So I keep believing. Now, I understand the reason that we have issues with this is because you have the devil nagging you and telling you it's not going to happen. All right? And I'm going to tell you this. If you listen to him, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You're going to have a choice. You're going to either believe God or not believe God. All right? And I want you to turn to James, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm at the New King James, so I'll actually, you know, I'll let's go to the NLT here. James chapter 1, I want you to skip down to verse number 5. It says this: if you need wisdom. Now we're using the word wisdom, but you can actually use anything, because you know the Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, James over here is talking about when you need wisdom. You know, but really you could say, when you need a healing, when you need, you know, I guess, you know, wisdom would be direction, but you know, when you need a financial miracle, whatever you need, because the Bible says, ask what you will in my name and it shall be done. Anyway, it says, so verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask, I love this in the Living, it says, ask our generous God. Understand, your God's generous. Your God loves you. Your God's concerned about your situation. You know, and sometimes I just wonder, you know, do you realize how much your God cares? You know, now, I know I realize that everyone didn't have the fortune to grow up in a home like I grew up. You know, I grew up in a home where there was no question in my life that my family loved me. My parents loved me. My grandparents loved me. You know, they showed that. All right? And because of that, it was so much easier for me to know that God loved me, because, you know, I would think, well, if my parents loved me this much, how much more does God love me? But, you know, whether you grew up in a home like that or whether you grew up in a home that there wasn't as much love, it still doesn't matter. God loves you. You know, and if nobody else loved you, God still loves you. You know, in fact, God loved you so much that he made the ultimate sacrifice, sending his own son to die for you. And you know, we need to realize and have the mentality, if you were the only one in the universe, it'd be a pretty boring universe, but if you were the only one in the universe, God still would have done it for you. That's how much he loves you. Because sometimes we don't get that realization how much he really does love us. Now, I know you sing the song, "Oh, how he loves you and me," and that kind of stuff. But you know, just because you sing a song doesn't mean you really believe the songs you sing. You know, you should, because you know, when it's based on the word. But he does love you. He cares about you. Now, the reason sometimes we don't think that is because the devil tells us that the God doesn't love us, because if he loved us, you know, we already got our need met. Yeah, but you're just a liar. We know what you are. I mean, the devil is a liar. I mean, there's, you know, why don't we be a third grade kid and tell him what you should tell him? Liar, liar, pants on fire. I mean, you know, I mean, You know, a lot of times, the funny part about it is, you know, in real life, meaning like, you know, your friends or whatever, sometimes there's people that you know that seem to have a great imagination, or we'll just call them a liar or exaggerator or whatever. You know, and when someone like that, you know, sometimes they'll tell us things, and at first you might believe them, but then when you figure out that they always lie or always exaggerate, you don't believe anything they say. You just kind of shut them out. You know, when they say something, you go, yeah, that's right, yeah. You know, because you just don't want to get in a fight about, because you know it didn't really happen that way. You know, here's the deal. Why can't we do that with the devil? When he tries to lie to us, why can't we just kind of treat him like some of our so-called friends that you know, we love them in spite of their weaknesses. We don't have to love the devil, but we can say, you know what? It's not really like that. You know, but for whatever reason, they were not able to. Anyway, it says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He'll give it to you. Whatever you ask, he's going to give it to you. Why? Because he loves you. And then he says this, and sometimes, you know, this is pretty important. It says, he will not rebuke you for asking. Because you know what? Some people are afraid to ask. And the Bible says, ask what you will, and it shall be done. But if you're not going to ask, you're not going to get it done. Some people are just afraid to ask. Why are you afraid to ask? Because God's never going to tell you no. It says anything. Ask me anything in my name and I'll do it. Now, I've told you before, the only thing you cannot ask is whenever it concerns somebody else's will, because we all have our own will. So, and this happens a lot, you know, when you're you know, in singles ministry and there's this one person that they want to love this person, but the other person doesn't want to love that person. And, you know, and this guy or this gal's praying that this person will marry them. You know, the best way is not pray about it, is, you know, take a shower, you know, get cleaned up and, you know, get a good job and ask her out. You know, and if she doesn't want to be with you or want to talk to you, then there's somebody else for you. You know, I've always often wondered, why do we want someone who doesn't want us anyway? You know, but anyway, you know, the point is that when someone else's will is involved, you can't pray against somebody else's will. You know, and so you need to know that, because that really helps. And that's why, you know, we can have influence on people, you know, to get saved, but we can't make anyone get saved. All right, we can't make them get saved. Now, we can have influence on them, and we can pray that the Spirit of the Lord will talk to them, that people come across their path, that they'll see the light. We can pray that the light, you know, that they'll understand what the Word it says, and they'll get saved. But we can't make them get saved. You know, my grandfather used to say, "Yeah, you know, God can't. He doesn't make you pay your tithes." You know, and so he doesn't make us do anything. He didn't make us get saved, but you know we. You know, that's up to us. We have our own, you know, we're a free moral agent. But it says, verse number 6, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. See, when we ask, our faith is in God, not in some gentleman or lady or, you know, or not in our parents. You know, and I see this so many times that, you know, when you know, you see certain ministers or whatever, that people try to put their faith in that minister. You know, you can't put your faith in a ministry. You have to put your faith in God. It's in God we trust. Have faith in God. Anyway, it goes on to say, so when you ask, be sure your faith is in God alone. And then it says, do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, what do you mean by that? If one day you believe, the next day you don't. So one day you believe, next day you don't. You know, so basically, two steps forward, one step back. So if you're doing the spiritual hokey pokey, you're not going to, you know, you're wavering. You know, and I've seen a lot of people, and I've, you know, this happens, and I'm not trying to say anything bad about them, but whenever they speak to their mountain and they start out in faith believing, and when it hasn't happened, they start to waver. You know, and that's why we talk about unwavering faith. An unquestioning belief. Only believe. Never give up. Don't stop believing. And so, you know, so it says, if you're going back and forth, then you're like the wind being tossed to and fro. Well, what about those people? Verse number 7. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Well, this is pretty important. Because if you're one of those people, you shouldn't expect anything. You're going to have to get on the bus or get off the bus. You're going to have to believe. You know, and the reason people ask me all the time, Craig, why am I not receiving? This is one of the biggest reasons why people don't receive. Because they're going back and forth, back and forth. This is how their faith looks. You know, they got one step in and one step out, and they're, maybe it's more like this, they're doing the spiritual dance, and maybe there's a bunch of them, they're doing a big line dance, they're all, doing the same thing over, but I think if we could visually see how some Christians actually act, we would be like shocked. But that's how a lot of people do it. And it's not like that anything's wrong with them. What happens is, this is why I point out John 10:10 so much, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You have the devil who's against you. He's been there since Genesis. He was there with Adam and Eve, and he was against them. And so it doesn't surprise me that he's against me and he's against you. And the thing is, are you going to listen to him or not? Because as long as we listen to him, we're not going to get our needs met. So, Paul says this way, casting down imaginations. Don't let the devil talk you into something. See, we have to have what we call the mind of Christ. How does Jesus think? Well, Jesus thinks, we say it, we believe, and we have it. That's the mind of Christ. That's how God thinks, that's how Jesus thinks. Anyway, it says, verse number 8, their loyalty is divided between God and the world. They are unstable in everything they do. Don't be a back and forth person. Get in the boat or get out of the boat. All right, just believe. There is no middle ground. Well, I kind of believe. Well, maybe I believe. Going back here to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, reading from the New Living Translation, verse 23. It says this. Once again, I want to read it. It says, I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen, but you must really believe it will happen, and have no doubt in your heart. So you have to believe. It's just that simple. When my grandfather walked off the deathbed, he was reading these scriptures, and he said, God, I believe. I really believe. See, one day it clicked. I'm going to really believe. I believe that you're able to do this. Because before it was like, yeah, this seems impossible. Yes, but I'm able to. That's one of those but God things. But God is able. But the devil is on your shoulder and says, yeah, but how are you going to do it? I don't care how. It doesn't matter how. I'm not supposed to figure out how. I'm not supposed to believe. And what do I believe? I believe that my God is able. Simply that. And if my God is able, it will happen. Because here's the deal. If it's really up to God, then, and you believe. See, if it's up to you, you'd probably mess it up. If it was up to me, you'd probably mess it up. But it's not up to me. It's not up to anybody. It's up to God. My faith is in my God. And I tell people all the time, I'm the way I am up here. I am honestly the same way wherever. And people ask me questions, but do you really believe? Sure, I believe. And I tell them, I just believe God. And if God can't do it, I don't know who can. I can't. Then they'll say, yeah, but Craig, look how hard it seems. I get it. From the outside, it looks really hard. It looks like, that would be hard. And, it would be hard for me to do it. But thank God I don't have to do it. That's right. I only have to believe that God can do it. And you that have been in church for a long time, we sang an old song, God can do anything, anything, anything. My God can do anything. Anyone remember that old song? You know, you sing an old song, but you forget about it, you know, later on in life. If he can really do anything, then why can't you believe that he can do anything? Why don't you believe your songs? Why don't you believe the word? Why don't you believe the Bible? Well, because it's hard. How is it hard? It's not hard. The Bible even says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not hard. It's not hard to believe in God. The only reason it's hard is because we have a stinking devil. And it's hard when you're listening to background noise. It's just like, you know, if you're trying to watch TV, and some of you, you know, you don't have the awesome thing to have kids in your household, and, you know, especially, you know, I have my granddaughters there, you know, sometimes when she wants to talk and she wants to do stuff, and I'm trying to listen to, you know, something on TV, and she's just having a good old time, and, you know, she's not trying to bother me, she's just trying to do her own thing. But sometimes because of background noise, I'm like, I didn't hear what the TV said. Now, the great thing about it, you know, with these modern day TV things, they actually, it automatically DVRs it, and I can actually rewind and hear it again. And there was the other day, I was watching the news story, watching something, I had to rewind it 4 times. Because every time I got to where they're going to tell me what's going on, my sweet little loved one would begin asking questions and you know, distracting me, and, you know, 4 times. I'm thinking, you know, but see, that's what the devil tries to do. He tries to distract us from believing. So just rewind. Rewind and reset. You know, the deal is, if you're doing the spiritual dance up here, back and forth, you know, realize what's happening and said, you know what, I'm no more going to dance anymore. I'm just going to believe. I'm going to stand solid, and it will happen quicker than you think. The reason it's taking a long time is because you keep getting in the way. Now, I'm not trying to pick on anybody, because, you know, that's what it's been happening for generation after generation. You know, and you know, we think sometimes the devil doesn't have any influence. He sure does. I mean, that's why Adam and Eve got us all in a mess. Because the devil had influence. And they listened to the devil. So, you know, that's why my newest book is called Don't Be Stupid. Don't listen to the devil. All right? Because he'll make stupid choices. I'm going to go on to verse 24. It says this. I said, I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you receive it, it will be yours. Now, it's interesting when you read this, and, you know, whenever you're praying, you believe that you receive something before you have it. You know, when you're praying, you believe that you receive. That's what's called faith, having something by faith. Having something that you don't even see, but you believe it is. The grandfather said all the time, he says, the time to get excited is when you pray. A lot of people get excited whenever they get, you know, I like to do the Price is Right rendition, a new car. You know, when they get the new car, they jump up and down. Now, it's interesting, you know, using the Price is Right for a big example, because most people have seen the Price is Right at some point in time in their life. You know, I know growing up that my mom's mother, my grandmother, my mom's side of the family, she loved the Price is Right. Every time I was over her house, we watched the Price is Right all the time. I got really good at naming the prices because I knew it, I knew all the games. The interesting part about it is, you know, they get picked on, you know, they get picked and they get up there and it used to be Bob Barker, and, you know, now it's changed to Drew Carey. And they're like, well, you know, they ask the announcer, so what are they going to win? They comes out, a new car! You know, this is a 2008 Grand Am or whatever, Grand Am doesn't exist anymore. But whatever car is, they talk about the new car. The interesting part about it is, the guy or the lady get excited just when they say new car. They haven't won yet. They still get, but, you know, they get excited. You know, and sometimes that's what we need to do. Get excited before we get it. Why are they getting, so they were excited about the opportunity, but we have a step further. We know that our God shall meet all our needs. We know our God's going to provide. If we can believe, we shall receive, the Bible says. So how much easier should it be for us to get excited whenever we pray? when we speak to him out, how much easier should this to get excited? Because you know what? We know our God's good. We know our God's good. So it's easy to get excited. We don't have to wait till the new car comes, or you know, the healing comes, or whatever. You know, some people are hoping and are praying. You know, hoping and praying is not faith. Only believe. All right, we don't have to hope and pray. You know, and we, now what it really means is believe that you receive something before you even have it. You know, once again, the imaginary friend people come in line. You know, because you believe something was there when it wasn't really there. So it's really easy for you to believe that, you know, you have a new car when you don't have a new car. You know, and, you know, don't look weird, okay? Some people like to look weird, you know. They drive up in their old car and they're showing their friends, hey, see my new car? And they're like, yeah, it's my new car. No, it's not. God didn't say he's going to turn your old car into a new car. You know, I know you say, well, I'm pretending, or no, you're not. That's not your new car. That's your old car. All the things are passed away. All things become new. You know, sometimes Christians look kooky because they say things and other people don't understand. That's why you have to be careful on social media putting things, you know. Sometimes you'll put things in, all your Christian friends, they're like, oh man, that's awesome. Your other friends are like, has this person lost their marbles? You know. So sometimes I delete certain things that people put on my Facebook. Not because I don't believe it, because I have friends that think I lost my marbles, you know, because they don't understand. You know, not everyone understands, but you need to understand that when you pray, you can believe that you receive something before you have it. It's your right. It's your authority. And so that's when my grandfather got a hold of me. He said, you know what? I can believe I'm healed right now while I pray. You know, and King James says, when you stand praying, but you don't have to stand and pray. You can sit and pray, kneel and pray, or, you know, jump up and down and pray. You know, it doesn't matter. The point is that you pray. Point of, that you say, the point of that you believe, that you really believe. Now, I want to finish off with verse number 25. It says, but when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins too. You know, sometimes we hold grudges and we don't need to hold a grudge. You know, and a lot of people say, well, Craig, yeah, I've forgiven them. And then they say, well, I forgive them, but I won't forget it. Well, if you forgive him, you forget it. You forgot it. Now, you know, let's use an example of our Father in heaven. When our Father forgives us, he forgets it. Amen. I mean, you know, it says, I will remember your sins no more. As far as the east is from the west, which never meets, I'm not going to remember your sins. That's how God forgives. So that's how you have to forgive. If you're a child of God, you have to forgive like God forgives. Right. Yeah, but I remember. Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people, and I'm being funny here, really. A lot of people, they don't remember a lot of things. I mean, you know, sometimes people get, as they get older, their memory fades. But they remember what that person did to them. Or at least they remember that they did something to them. I'm not remembering specifically what they did, but they remember they did something. And so they marked this place a long time ago that they don't want to hang around this person. Now, I'm not saying you have to be best friends with people that have done things and hurt you. I'm saying if an opportunity arises and you have to be in the same room, there shouldn't be awkwardness. Now, the King James here says, if you have aught against any, forgive. And the way I describe aught is if you're at a function, you know, whether it be a church service, you know, like this, or you're at somebody's wedding, or Christmas party, or even if you're walking around the mall or whatever, and you happen to see a certain person, if you look at a person and all of a sudden on the inside you start getting raised, or you start feeling uncomfortable, or you don't want to talk to that person, you don't want to be in the same room with that person, that's probably ought. You ought not to have that. Because see, God is love, and the love of God is set abroad in your heart. And whenever you're around a person, and I get it, maybe words were spoken, maybe that there had been an issue, you know, and that you've had words. And, you know, here's the deal. When it comes to words, a lot of time I have found out when it comes to we having arguments, you know, that of some sort or disagreements, you know, we disagree, and then we basically cut each other down. You say something mean about me, I say something mean about you, and we cut each other down. And, you know, maybe you learned that a long time ago when you were in grade school. And then what happens is so many words are spoken, it's just hard to actually be friends anymore. And, you know, sometimes you need to just grow up and, you know what, let's forget about all the words. Let's start over. Let's reset. Let's rewind and reset. Amen. You know, because sometimes that's what you have to do. Because, you know, if you remember all this stuff, people get angry. You know, and the deal is, you know, for me, it's really easy to walk in love, you know, and they say, well, how do you do it? I said, I just forget. You know, I make excuses for people all the time. I said, you know, maybe they were having a bad day. Maybe they got up on the wrong side of the bed that morning. You know, maybe they're having a bad hair day, so it made them say mean things or what. I make more excuses for people because it helps me. You know, and many times when I'm talking to people about a certain issue and counseling or whatever, I make excuses for them all the time. I start pointing out, and maybe they didn't, maybe it didn't really happen, but I use a scenario. But what if this has happened? Because you know, you don't know all the pressures that person was facing. And a lot of times, whenever we get mad at each other, we're not really mad at that person. We're mad at somebody else, and we have displaced anger. This happens in a family a lot, you know, whether husband and wife or whether it's brother and sister or mom and, you know, mom and son or I mean, we're mad at somebody else. And sometimes to somebody else, we're mad at ourselves. And we take it out on somebody, and we take it out on our loved ones, you know, sometimes the people that we love, we hurt the most. And then again, I had a counselor that told me this, and, you know, sometimes, you know, the fact that I was in counseling actually helped me learn to counsel other people. And she said these words. And man, I've used this so many times. I thank God that I actually went to her for counseling on a certain issue. She said, hurting people say hurtful things. And you know, and I've seen that, you know, when you're hurting, we lash out, we say hurtful things to other people. And sometimes we're not even that mad at them, we're just hurting. And so what happens is we put ourselves in a situation where it's really hard to forgive, or think it's hard to forgive. But you know what? We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. You know, if you don't think you can forgive, you can forgive. You know, I've forgiven a lot of people. You know, I forgive them. You know, and it doesn't say that they have to forgive us. You understand? It says you need to forgive them. And sometimes, you know, forgiving them, you don't have to be in the same room. You just have to say, Father, I'm going to quit holding that grudge. I mean, I'm going to quit being angry. You know what? That's been 10 years ago. I mean, that was last week, Craig. Okay, last week. You know, I've slept 7 times since then. You know, I've got over it. You know, I kind of use the same mentality that brother, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see when brothers fight, they get over it pretty fast. You know, cause, you know, especially if you don't have a lot of other friends to play with, you know, if you live, you know, on the farm somewhere, if you're not getting along with your brothers, then you're pretty bored. You know, but it seems, you know, and you know, the male species sometimes get over things a lot faster than the females. The females like to, and sometimes it's because other females influence them. Yeah, you know what she did to me? You know, and social media has been really bad about making it even worse because, you know, used to it was only the few people in the room and a few of their friends that knew about it. Now the whole world can find out. And if you happen to be famous enough, You know, then you're watching TV. Then on today, you know, Entertainment Tonight comes on and they talk about, you know, all this stuff and People Magazine print. You know, thank God you're not that famous sometimes. You know, like, you know, so-and-so forgets to take the trash out and him and his wife have a big fight. News at 11. I mean, sometimes you wonder, I mean, is that a big deal? The two celebrities fought because someone didn't take the trash out? I mean, you know, sometimes that is the lead story of the news. Sometimes it's really weird. But, you know, the deal is, just get over it. Just get over it. You know, let the love of God be shed abroad in your heart. You know, that's part of being Christ-like, being a Christian. You know, I never saw Jesus in the Gospels. We never see Jesus having a grudge against anybody. Do you realize a lot of people said some mean things to him? You realize the rulers of the synagogue and all these, you know, I kind of joke, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and other people you see. I mean, you know, those people said mean things about Jesus. You know, and you know, I said, well, yeah, but that was behind his back. Well, you know, people say mean things about you behind your back. It gets back to you a lot of times. It didn't, you know, I never saw Jesus, you know, God's disciples around and says, well, we can forgive, but, you know, we just don't forget. You know, if you have an opportunity, you take it by, I don't know. He never said that. He talked about forgiving. He talked about, you know, he told that one guy, he said, well, do I have to forgive 70 times? No, 70 times seven. You know, the guy was thinking 70 times is a lot. And Jesus said, you know, times it by seven. And really, ultimately, he was saying that 70 times in a day. I mean, you know, the deal is when someone offends you. We live in a world that too many people are getting offended about nothing. Sometimes they weren't trying to offend you. You just got offended by something. You know, you took it the wrong way. You know, and I'm going to be honest, from a minister standpoint, you know, it's really hard. You know, because sometimes we'll have a statement like, well, it's just black and white. Well, people that, well, that's a racial thing. It's not a racial thing. We're just talking about, you know, we're not trying to make it a racial thing. It's just, you know, we're just using a figure of speech and we can't use that anymore. So it's really hard sometimes. And sometimes, you know, we use a figure of speech and people get offended about it. And, you know, and it wasn't meaning anything. You know, and like I said, you know, there is no color in Jesus. We're all in one family. You know, and it bothers me that people see color we understand differences. We understand, you know, physical differences when we see different people. You know, and some people are tall, some people are short. I mean, you know, we understand that some people have blue eyes, some people have black eyes or brown eyes, or some people have gray hair, some people have, you know, brown hair, red hair. I mean, we look different, you know what, but we're all the same. There's no respect of persons. We're all the same. We're all in the same family. We're all brothers and sisters together. You know, and the reason that, you know, we get offended a lot of times is because we're trying to segregate ourselves out or whatever. But, you know, so what I have to do, and it's not a racial thing, this is sometimes when people say things that offends me, I just have to make an excuse, well, they didn't mean to offend me. Sometimes I know they did, but I just have to choose to believe they didn't mean to. We said, well, yeah, but they meant to. So, you know what, just because someone was mean to me, that mean I need to be mean back. And Jesus didn't say, do unto others as they do unto you. You know, and a lot of times that we have unforgiveness in our heart and we want to know why things aren't working out for us. Man, if you get your heart right, things will change in an instant. Amen. And I love everybody. I mean, I don't have any real ill will against anybody. Even when things people have done me wrong, I it's not in me to not like them. It's not in me to you know, it's not, because that's not my nature, because my nature is the nature of God. Now, sometimes it takes a long time to get to that point. But it's not in me to hurt somebody, because Jesus wouldn't do that. He always uplifts people, speaks love. You know, and I don't know how many times in a counseling situation I said, you know what, we need to speak love. Speak love. Speak love. Speak love to one another. You know, because it changes the atmosphere. And that's not normally my sermon, but, you know, but I think that we need to do that. Sometimes we're trying to figure out why this faith thing isn't working, because, you know, you need to work on your own self, you know, and it's not that hard. All you have to do is just make the word work in your life and be more like Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for just helping us to be able to believe, helping us to be able to stand strong, helping us to be able to speak to our mountains and help us to help things to change. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person here, but we thank you if anyone is here that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that they'll accept him. Or maybe they're here tonight and they want to rededicate themselves to God. If you're here and you say, Craig, I don't know Jesus, or I want to rededicate my life publicly to Jesus, lift your hand right now. We want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Father God, we don't see any hands, but we thank you that if there's be anyone here, we thank you for sending laborers across their path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will come to the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, you're sick in your body, you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. The Lord had challenged me one time. So make sure that every time that you minister, that you give an opportunity for people to get healed. Anyone need prayer for healing? Amen. Prayer. Come on down. Come on down. All right. God loves you that much. He wants you well. Anybody else, you know, need healing? If you need healing, come down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. Amen. I tell you what, you know, it's no fun to be sick. And I get it. The flu's been going around. Some people have been sick. You know what? God wants us well. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Regina, I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift both hands toward heaven. I want you to think about two things: Jesus Christ and your healing. Father God, we thank you right now for Regina. We thank you for her life. And we thank you, Father, as we lay hands upon her head. We thank you, Father, for the power of God flowing into her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We thank you, Father, in advance for healing her. Hallelujah. Father God, right now, in the name of, that's it right there. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's working right now. He's working right now. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's all over her. Amen. The power of God's working in her body. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. Amen. 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 Some people say, well, what's going on? Well, what happens is sometimes when the power of God hits you, you can't stand it. You know, it overtakes you. I mean, you know, God's just working on her right now. And can't wait to see the testimony. Amen. Yeah.